There was an old preacher that used to start every revival meeting with this statement: may the Lord help us to make an invasion on the devil's territory. That was F.L. Ray. I'm praying that Brother Parson's sermon will make an invasion on the devil's territory. To you that are unsaved, let these words ring in your ears. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It's my pleasure to present to you tonight the pastor of Elkton Baptist Church in Elkton, Kentucky, Brother Kent Farley.
I won't even know how to get home. I won't know where to go. Thank you, Brother Eddie and Sister Crook. Beautiful job on both of those, well, all of those songs, but the special that you sang is so true. There is room at the cross for you, for you. I sat over there and was just so blessed, and as you've heard me say, you know, I keep thinking to myself, what am I doing down here? You people have got all of the talent and all of the preachers, and you didn't need me down here, but I'm so thankful that I get to be down here and to be with you and to feel the presence of the Lord and to be blessed of Him. And I mean that from the very depths of my heart. I kind of picked on the church, I guess, this morning, or Christians. And I don't know that I necessarily picked on the church, but to save people more than I preach to lost people this morning. So I need to get back over and talk to you that are lost for a little while. And there's just a couple of things I think you need to clearly understand. As the song said, there's room for you. Another thing that you need to understand, it is not hard for the Lord to save you. Not difficult at all. It's easy for Him to do the job. The difficulty comes in most of the time in us believing that He can save us, that He will save us, and that He will do it now. Now. Brother Kenneth quoted the scripture. He said, come unto me. One of the parables that Jesus used, he said to that a king sent forth his servants to go and to bid those who had been chosen to come. And he said, you go out there and you say, come, for all things are now ready. I want each one of you who are lost to understand that every single thing that needs to be done for you to be saved has already been done. The only thing that is lacking is for you to come to Him that He can save you. Before the foundation of the earth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a conversation about this time of when we, each one of us who are here tonight, were going to need a redeemer. We were going to need someone to redeem our souls from sin. Every single one of us who have been saved have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that conversation went to the point to where that Jesus finally said, I will be the one who will go and pay the price of redemption for the souls of mankind. And in due time He came. He lived here upon the face of the earth. He died upon the cross. His blood was shed. I'm always amazed at how we want to beautify that scene when it probably is so repulsive and so ugly that there's not a single person here tonight who would want to have to see it. The only beauty of it is that He went there and died for me and for you. But the actual scene, the physical scene, was not pretty. But I want you to know that the Lord cared enough for you and he loved you enough that he was willing to do that for you, for me, and for everyone else who will come to him in faith believing. Now, he didn't just go there and die. He then arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he lives today, but then he didn't even stop at that. He said, I will not leave you alone. I will send a comforter unto you. And so the Holy Spirit is among us tonight. Today, tonight. And that's what works in your heart. And not only then did he give us his presence through the Holy Spirit, but he said, I will leave some people to carry out my work, and I will leave my word to be proclaimed so that you can hear about me and that you can feel my presence and you know what to do. And so he left the church here in the world to declare the word so that you could be saved. And there is only one way for you to be saved, and that is his way. I cannot emphasize that enough, but what I want you to be sure that you understand this evening is that he prepared everything that's necessary for your salvation. The price has already been paid. Everything has been done. We're here tonight. The Holy Spirit, I've already felt his presence tonight. I felt it as Brother Eddie was playing and I was listening and I think, oh Lord, how you blessed that man with the talent to play. I'm thankful for that. But what I am most thankful for tonight is that the Lord made provision for my salvation and for yours. He prepared the way. My thought this evening is God prepared. God prepared. Now, let's go over and get where that come from in my thinking. Some of you who were here Sunday morning heard me say my first text whenever that the Lord kind of gave it to me. I thought, well, is that even in the scripture? Well, sometimes when I give some, so you may not think it's in the scripture, but God prepared is in the word of the Lord. Philip, by the name of Jonah, the Lord called him to go down and to preach to a people that he simply despised. They were such a despicable people that he said, I'm not going, Lord. Now, I'm going to say to you this evening, you can just tell the Lord whatever you want to. You who are lost, you can just jack around with him all you want to, but I'll guarantee you one thing, until you get to the point to where that you're willing to come the way that he wants you to, you'll stay lost. It won't make any difference how much I want you to be saved. It won't make any difference how much I preach or how little I preach or how much your pastor preaches or how much this church prays until you make up your mind that you're going to do something about your lost condition. You'll stay lost. Jonah said, I'm not going. Y'all know this story. It's a very simple story. Every child here probably knows about Jonah and the whale, don't you? Well, there are a few things maybe that you just forgot or that you didn't pick up. Y'all know that after that he decided he was going to go in the opposite direction of what the Lord had instructed him to go. And a lot of times that's the way God's people do. God will tell you one thing and you take off and go the wrong way. You're going to get yourself in trouble every time, just like Jonah did. But the Bible says that after that Jonah had gone down and paid his fare to get on board a ship and go the opposite direction from what the Lord told him to go, that a storm came up on the sea and it caused trouble for those sailors who were sailing that ship, boat. And they tried to figure out what the problem was. Let me tell you something this evening. The problem with you, because you are still lost, if God has been dealing with is in your heart, and notice I qualify that, it takes God dealing in your heart. It takes the Spirit of God moving in your heart and letting you know that you're lost. You can't be saved until you know that. You got to know you're lost before you're going to be saved. And I can't tell you when you're lost. Oh, I can get up here and say, I think you're lost, but that doesn't mean anything. It takes the Lord. Mom and daddy may tell you, well, I think you're lost. It doesn't make any difference what they think. It's what you know. Anyway, these people try to figure out what's causing our problem. I sometimes spend a lot of time worrying about what's our problem today that we aren't seeing more people saved than we are. Why are we not seeing revivals like you were speaking of earlier? Why do we not have those services? And I know the answer, and you do too, so I'm not going to elaborate on that this evening. But let me tell you something. God's still dealing in the hearts of people that are lost because he wants them to be saved, and he made that provision and that plan, which is perfect and does not need to be changed for anyone for any reason. Well, they tried to figure out what the problem was, and finally they came to the conclusion, and Jonah finally, after they woke him up a little bit, admitted that he was the one who was at fault. Until you can reach the point to where that you can acknowledge to yourself and admit to yourself that you're lost, you're probably going to stay that way. And the Bible says in the first chapter of the book of Jonah, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Lord prepared a fish. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. You know, what I'm going to get at here this evening is that God does some unusual things. God does some things, and God does some things that we sometimes don't think of. I remember as I was a young preacher and before my wife was saved, she went to the altar one night and I was helping in a revival meeting of the church where we were at, and the pastor was an old seasoned veteran, and my wife was down in the altar, and I'd gone by and I said, is there anything that we can do to help you out? I'll do that every once in a while to people. Is there anything I can do to help you? She said, turn the lights out. I had this look of bewilderment. Turn the lights out? I thought, I've never heard anything like that in my life. Old pastor, he sees I'm bewildered and standing there. Well, you know what? He says, what did she say? I said, she said, turn the lights out. He says, well, turn them out. You know? Somebody went and turned the lights out. While the lights were out, another sinner who had been in service after service after service, and people had gone to her and tried to get her to come to the altar while the lights were out. When they came back on, she was in the altar. I thought, that's the strangest thing I ever saw. And then she got saved before my wife did, and my wife got upset because that happened. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always work the way that we think he should and the way that we want him to. You heard me say that I got mad at the Lord when I was in the altar. I got mad at him more than once when I was in the altar because old Joey Belk, I'll never forget this kid. He came down to the altar after I was in there, and pretty soon I heard him say, I've got saved. I thought, Lord, old Joey smokes all the time. I don't even smoke. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. That made me mad. The Lord saved him, and here I am. I'm still lost, and I don't even do some of the things he's doing. It isn't what you have done. It's what you have not done that causes you to be lost. Now, I want you to understand that this evening. The Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. People every once in a while say, oh, preacher, what do you believe the unpardonable sin is? I know what the unpardonable sin is, the sin of unbelief. It's not whether you drink, whether you smoke, whether you run around on your wife or your husband or any of these other things. That's not what sends people to hell. I'm not going to get up here and advocate you do those things this evening, but I'll guarantee you what, that's not what sends people to hell. It's the sin of unbelief that you have not believed in the Son of God. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to believe in your heart. God, the Lord, prepared a whale, a great fish. You almost caught me there, didn't you? Me saying a whale. He says a great fish. And it swallowed him up. And while he was in the belly of the whale, he got down to business with the Lord. Every service, excepting maybe the one this morning, I believe I've said to you who are lost, you need to get down to business with the Lord. And I'm going to say it again tonight. You've got to mean business with the Lord. And it is serious business. You can just play around all you want to. You can procrastinate all you want to. You can make up your mind, well, I'm going to do it some other time, some other place, somewhere where that preacher's not at. Don't you run that risk. Well, you may remember the story of Jonah, whenever that he had prayed this prayer and the fish then vomited him up on the dry land, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, go down to that city of Nineveh and cry against it and say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Didn't say destroyed, said overthrown. Oh, Jonah, he gets up and he starts down there. Kenneth, I believe he probably was half-hearted in doing it. Yeah, but he knew he had to do it. That's kind of the way a lot of Christians are. Let me tell you something, you that are lost. You quit looking at how we Christians are doing or not doing. That'll get you in trouble all the time, because I'll guarantee you, Satan will come along and put in your mind, you pick out the poorest example of a Christian that you can find, and that's who you'll try to use as your excuse for not listening to the Lord. He goes into the city of Nineveh and the Bible, and he went in and he began preaching, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 3 days' journey through the city. And the highest compliment that I believe that can come to any preacher is made to Jonah when it says when he went in there and he began to preach to those people, the Bible says, and the people believed the Lord. Yeah. Didn't say that he believed Jonah. You know, it doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. I'd like for you to believe me. I'd like for you to think that you have enough confidence in me to know I'm telling you the truth. But whether you have confidence in me or whether you believe me or not, I want you to know God's word is going to stand. And that's why that's always a privilege for me, and I thoroughly enjoy standing and telling you what the word of the Lord says, because I know it's right. And it will not fail you. It won't direct you in the wrong direction. And the people believed the Lord, and they got down and they repented, and God repented of that which he said he would do, and he didn't destroy them at that time. Now then, let's pick up. You would think whenever that old Jonah saw the success of his preaching that he would have been thrilled to death. Seriously, and I mean this with everything there is about me, my whole trip down here, I was more than repaid when I saw the little girl get saved the other night. It was well paid, Brother Eddie, when I heard you play a while ago. I mean that in all sincerity. And that just because the Lord just blessed my heart. And when I can be blessed of the Lord, that makes anything and everything worthwhile to me. I mean that. I'm never deserving of it, but I'm so thankful when I can still feel his presence. And I've already talked back on, well, Sunday night, I was already on the phone sending messages to some of my friends that one got saved. That's good news, people. We all ought to be excited about that. But I'm never satisfied. I'm always wanting more. want to see more people. I want you, if you're here tonight, I want you to be saved tonight. I don't want you to wait until next week. Now, I know God's going to still be in the saving business next week and the following week and the week after, but tonight's the night you've got. God prepared the fish, and then he took ahead and let Jonah go back out here and preach. And after he had preached and had great success, the Bible said, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Yeah, oh my. We forget about that in there, don't we? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil, thee of the evil. Yeah, oh Lord, I knew this is what was going to happen. I knew you was too good to let that people be destroyed. I knew that I'd have been better off if I just stayed back down there. I've heard the children of Israel say that so many times, it's pitiful. Oh, I wish we could just go back down there to Egypt. We just had everything so good down there. I want to go back. How many of you here heard somebody in this church say, oh, I wish we could go back to old so-and-so church up there in the country where they had the Lord? You mean you haven't got him here? I heard that for 25 years while I was in California. I had people say, oh, I wish I could just go back to old Lindley Creek. They used to do this. They hadn't been there for 30 years. They didn't know what Lindley Creek was doing. They thought they knew. In their minds, they did. But I'd say, well, you know what? Lindley Creek's changed since you left there. Old Jonah said, oh, I knew this is what had happened, Lord. There was no use for me to come out here and do this. Some of you are already sitting and saying, there's no use for me to try to start to the Lord because I won't get saved. You won't get saved if you don't believe you can be saved. I'll guarantee you that. Yeah. The Lord's ready to save you. He wants to save you. He will save you. He's already done everything so that you can be saved. He's prepared the plan of salvation, which is perfect. Does not need to be changed for you, and I can't change it. Can't add to it or take away from it. Wherefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I remember an old prophet who prayed that same thing, Elijah, after he had prayed the fire down from out of heaven. And Jezebel said, I'll have your hide for this, old boy. And Elijah took off and went running. And so when he finally stopped, he got out and said, Lord, just let me die. He wanted to die. Why in the world didn't he just stay back there and let Jezebel kill him? If he just wanted to die. You see, sometimes, and I'm not going to preach that sermon again about us praying, but we pray some stupid things. Yeah. If he really wanted to die, why didn't he just let her kill him? Now, if Jonah wanted to have died, why didn't he just keep his mouth shut when he was down there in the belly of the fish and let him suffocate down there? I don't know the answer to that. But the truth is, he didn't want to die. Good old preacher friend of mine used to say, you know what? I'm prepared to die, but I'm not ready to die. And I'm that way. I'm prepared when the time comes, but I'm not ready to go yet. I want to stay a little longer. You who are lost aren't prepared yet, and you need to be prepared. Now, I'm going to get me going here because Jonah, he's now on a pity trip. Then the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry? Dost thou well to be angry? Now listen. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. I've had the opportunity over the years to work with a lot of saved people who did exactly what Jonah did. The Lord saved them, and after they got saved, They weren't going to do diddly squat except sit on the sideline and watch somebody who was trying to work, and all they could do would be find criticism of them. They weren't going to do anything to help the cause themselves, but they could find every fault that you had as you were trying. I tell people every once in a while, I've got a lot of bruises and a lot of scars. I've made a lot of mistakes in my years in the work of the Lord. But I'll guarantee you one thing, I still want to wear out instead of rust out. Now listen, I want to say just a couple of words to you saved people. The Lord didn't save you to sit on the sideline and be critical of those who are trying to do His work. He saved you to do part of the work. You have a responsibility just the same as every other child of God to help to preach the word. That's why He left the church in the world to preach the word so that people could hear and be saved. And that's why He left the Holy Spirit in the world to lead that person to the Lord so they could be saved. Oh, Jonah goes out here and he builds him a little hut out here, a booth, the Bible says. And he sits down there and he's going to watch and see what's going to happen. When I first went to Santa Paula many, many years ago to pastor the little church that I went to, the church was split. When the clerk called me up to tell me they had called me to be the pastor, she was one of those who wasn't for me. She didn't vote for me. Now you may say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I can tell you how I know it. When she called, she said, the church has called you to be the pastor, and there were 27 votes for you and 26 against you. Well, that lets you know right away. Well, you know, most preachers said, Lord, if it's that close, I'm not going to go to that mess. But I was young, and I was dumb. I'm still dumb, but I'm not young. But I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what, sister, I said, I'll pray about it, and if the Lord leads me, I'll accept the call. And the Lord led me, and I accepted the call. The first Sunday I was there, one of the deacons came up to me, he said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, young man. I'm going to be watching you in the altar service to see how you conduct that altar service. I said, I hope you have the opportunity to. That was my response. I hope we have the opportunity to have an altar service where you can watch me, because I believe in people coming down here and repenting and being saved just like I thought those people did, and they did, but they didn't know me, see. My reputation had preceded me from some people who didn't particularly like me. That always happens. But let me tell you something. Every one of you as a child of God have a responsibility to work in the work of the Lord. Yeah, work, that's what the Bible teaches, that we're to work. I've worked all my life. I hope I can work the rest of my life. Nothing wrong with working. But let me tell you something, the Lord expects each one of us to work too as His child. Anyway, Jonah goes out here, he sits down under his tent, and the Bible says, and the Lord God prepared a gourd, a gourd. How many of you know what a gourd is? Do you raise gourds? Yeah, you raise gourds down in this part of the country. I suspected you did. I don't guess I've ever tried to grow any of them. But I know what they are, and I've seen them. I grew up on a farm, but we didn't raise gourds. But the Bible says that the Lord God prepared a gourd. Yeah, God did it. Now, I don't want to say that yet. I want to hold that just a second. Another thought. But I want you to think about that. That's not a very significant thing. A gourd isn't, if you think about it. Just a little gourd out here. But the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head. Yeah. Well, now all of a sudden, he's got a little relief here. He's got this gourd going up. Can you? I can just see this in my mind. I hope that you can see this. I can just see him as he watches that vine as it's growing, and all of a sudden this gourd starts taking form, and he's watching it, and he's so excited about it. He's got this little gourd out here, and all of a sudden it becomes a shade over him. He's a little bit comfortable now. Yeah, you know, he's got some ease here from all of his pain. God prepared a gourd for him that it might deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Yeah, y'all know this. You know, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, especially you saved people. But to you that are lost, I want you to see, sometimes God takes insignificant things, like me, and uses us to get his work done. But now listen, but God prepared a worm. Oh, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. Now, I said, I'm not a farmer. I was raised on the farm. But Keith, for a few years, I'd try to raise a few tomato plants. And I'll never forget the first time that I went after. I was so proud of how my tomato plants were growing. And I had these big, nice tomatoes. And I went out one morning, and I had these big old tomato worms. That, oh, if you don't know what those are the ugliest and nastiest things. And they went out, and they had just wiped out all of my pride. I was so upset, man, I want you to know I was stomping those things right and left. I can only imagine how Jonah must have felt. But the Bible says that God prepared a worm that came up and it bit that vine in two, that the vine began to wither. And you can just imagine what Jonah was going through and the consternation he must have been experiencing as his precious little gourd is being destroyed. Sometimes, people, we get our priorities mixed up. We think there are things that are more important than the world and more important, and I'm going to talk to you mamas and daddies just a minute, more important for our children than the Lord. And you're going to say, oh, no, I would never think that. Well, just let me tell you what. The next time that you decide that it's more important for you to go up to Nashville here on Sunday morning for something rather than bring them to church, you didn't tell me that the most important thing to you is their well-being, spiritually speaking. Because you just told them that there's more important things to do than to go to church. You didn't have to come out and say it. Many times our examples are that way. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we can tell how much we love the Lord, but we forget to do anything for him. We can tell people how much the Lord has blessed us, but we forget to say, you know, that it's because of his goodness. The gourd God prepared, he also came along and prepared the worm. And it ate the vine. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. Yeah, see, God's still in the business here. He's not quit on old Jonah. He didn't just stop halfway through. God won't let you down, you that are lost. God won't half do the job. God always does a complete job. That's why that I can stand up as a Baptist preacher and talk about the security of the believer, because God didn't leave that in my power and in my hands to keep. He's got that himself, and I don't worry about it. He takes care of that. And he doesn't have to do a job. You're either saved or you're lost tonight. And you know which it is. I don't know where you are, but you know. God then prepared a vehement east wind that it came up, or wind, doesn't say, yeah, it does say an east wind. And the sun beat up on the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. He's just feeling sorry for himself. You that are lost, you'll start feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah, there's no hope for me. There's nobody who really cares about me. Or you'll go the other extreme. You'll say, well, they're all concerned enough about me. I don't have to worry about it because they'll get it taken care of. No. Let me give you clearly to understand. Nobody can make that decision for you. Nobody can take that step for you. Nobody can get you to the foot of the cross excepting the Lord Jesus Christ. As much instruction as I could give you, as much as I'd like to be able to do it for you, because for me it'd be easy. I've been there. But I can't do it. No. I cannot do it for you. Neither can anyone else. You have to be the one yourself. That's why it's so personal. Jonah, though, he's still feeling sorry. Some of you are probably going to think, well, you know what? That old preacher gets out of here. He's only got about two more services here and he'll be gone. I will be. I may not make it two more. I don't know that. But I'll guarantee you one thing, whether I'm here or not, the Lord is still going to be around. Yeah, I know that. Now some of you say, oh, we might have the rapture. Well, I may preach a little about that tomorrow night. I will just tell you this. I don't normally do this, and this will be providing the Lord lets me, but I've already know where my text is coming from tomorrow night. And I'll guarantee you one thing, it's going to be one for you that are lost. And I hope that you'll come back, but tomorrow night, I hope by then you've been saved, like tonight. And then it won't be applicable to you. Now then, I probably lost 3/4 of the church about coming back tomorrow night because they say, well, it don't apply to me, so I won't go back and hear him. But let me tell you something. You need to listen to the Lord now. He has prepared for you everything. Jonah, he's still feeling sorry for his. Now listen, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Well, are you right to be upset about such a little insignificant thing as that gourd? Oh yeah, Jonah thinks so. There's some of you who are probably thinking, I don't have to do what that old preacher's up there saying. I don't have to come down there to the altar. No, you don't. You don't have to come down here. That altar can't save you. I'm going to tell you that right now. That preacher, you come down to the preacher. You don't have to come down to this preacher. He can't save you. You don't have to come down to me because I can't save you. But you do have to get to the foot of the cross to where the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. And you can't even get there unless he gives you of his spirit to get you down there. I guarantee you that. You don't know the way. You've got to be led by the spirit down to where. But he'll do that. He's promised he would. He's prepared everything you need to be saved tonight. Tonight. The Lord said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Here you're so upset about that little gourd that didn't amount to diddly squat, and there are thousands of people out here that you were willing to just let them be sacrificed so that your word could be good. What a shame. What a shame. Nothing would please me more than you would say before this service, oh, you know what, I didn't even have to come down there. That preacher wanted me to come down there to the front. Nothing would please me more if the Lord just saved you right where you're at, right where you're at. You don't even have to wait for the invitation. But we're ready for the invitation right now, so you haven't got much time. God prepared some things. He has prepared you for this time tonight. And he has everything ready. All you have to do is come to him. I said, have to come to him. You can't be saved any other way. No other way under heaven that you can be saved, excepting through him. Would you do that while we stand and sing, Brother Kenneth?